Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
When focus takes hold and distractions fade away, meet Remarkable, the paper tablet specially designed for tasks that demand focus. Take notes, draft, and organize. Remarkable is a digital notebook with the feel of paper and zero interruptions. All of your notes and documents, perfectly organized and in one place. It's everything you love about paper, but for the digital age. Visit Remarkable.com today. Remarkable, the paper tablet.
John's not there.
He's coming in. I see him.
Is he wheeling his chair down
yes.
the hallway?
Yeah, now he is in the studio wheeling his chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes.
And he wasn't in here, Ken, so you can't blame me this time.
What is the problem?
You're like the child in the family that always feels like they're blamed for everything.
I
didn't say anything. I didn't blame you.
I know, but I could read your mind.
The problem is, John, the show started, and I didn't know you weren't there, so I just told you.
I didn't have the chair. I cannot.
Deborah, what did I say?
Yep. Yes, that is he wheeling the chair down the hallway?
The hallway right now as we speak.
I left the chair behind. I don't know why.
Oh, you're always with your chair.
I cannot do my job in these substandard chairs they have.
You could get the job at the airport, the ones that push the wheelchairs around. You're so good at pushing chairs around.
Yeah. No, I'm good at that, and I had to go back and get it. And I didn't know, you know, that Deborah was going to do a minute and a half newscast, so...
Oh, you did get blamed.
I knew it.
See, that's what I'm saying, Ken. It was a little longer than a minute and a half.
That's a good one. I'm not going to complain about short news.
I was going to say, would you like me to go longer? No, I'll go much longer next time.
No. You'll be filling with animal stories and vegan food stuff.
Okay, well, then don't complain, John.
Can you hold on for just 10 seconds? Because I got to close the studio door because
I hear a lot of
there's
noise.
Very noisy people out there. So just
hold on. Conversation. All right. Well, here's the deal. Oh, by the way, the keyword's coming up for a chance for $1,000. There's that old cliched expression. Better to... is he back?
He's back.
All right.
Better to be thought a fool but never speak up instead of removing all doubt by speaking up, because the father of the Highland Park shooter, and this would be Robert Cremo, the first, the second, I guess the second.
The murderer is the third. Yeah, the father is the second. The first one's rolling over in his grave.
Oh, yeah, the father is referred to as, where I think the first died. But anyway, he has done some interviews. He talked to the New York Post, and he talked to ABC News. So we have Aaron Katursky ready to talk about that part.
Aaron, you there?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So, what's this dad saying?
Well, he's doing a couple of things. He's downplaying his own role in the process to get his son the firearms, and then and he's also downplaying the idea that his son was troubled or particularly violent. He said that the night before the shooting, they had a nice conversation on the lawn. They talked about astronomy or something like that, and even talked about a mass shooting in I think it was Denmark, and the son apparently remarked about how weird the shooter was, and he downplayed the 2019 encounter when Robert Cremo had threatened members of his family and police were called, and he was briefly labeled a clear and present danger. And he chalked it up to a kind of a childhood tantrum or, you know, acting out based on whatever was bothering him. But the dad does not seem to see his son, at least in the way he described it to us, as particularly troubled, despite some of the signs that we've seen as investigators have done their work.
Wow. What would it take?
Did anybody ask him if he's ever seen what his son posted online?
Well, we're not sure that he fully understood that, what he posted online. And really, not to excuse anything, but, you know, maybe he just didn't know. And it's not clear that what the relationship necessarily was. And that's something investigators are curious about, because sometimes the home life or a troubled home life can be a signal of the isolation or anger that one feels. And so police are taking a look to see what that relationship was like. And they're also taking a look to see if he deserves any charges.
What's fascinating about the dad's responses here is, I understand, especially if you're neglectful, your child could put together a secret life, an online life. He could go out and you don't really know where he is and who he's seeing and all that. But they were bringing up, the reporters were bringing up circumstances that the dad was aware of and witnessed. And every single one of them was downplayed. What's that?
Yeah, that's what it sort of seems. And his, you know, his attorney issued a statement, especially to say that, you know, his own role, all he did was consent to his son trying to get an Illinois firearms owner's ID card because he was under 21. The dad needed to sign off. But he said that's where it ends. And he really put the onus more on the process and the state. He said, look, my son passed a background check on his own. You know, I didn't do anything for him, and he's either approved or he's not, and he was approved.
What about your background check, Dad? Because he threatened to kill everybody in the home.
Yeah, here's the timeline. In April of 2019 was the suicide threat. In September of 2019, he's threatening to kill the family, and that's when they took away all the knives. And then in December 2019, his dad sponsors the gun application. I mean, it was in recent memory here. This isn't 5 years ago. This is 2 months ago.
Wasn't a big deal. He said that episode in 2019 wasn't that big a deal. In fact, the father said the knives, the dagger and the sword, belonged to him, and they were returned the very day that police confiscated them.
Right.
But he
was threatening to use them.
He was seemingly threatening to use them, although the dad certainly doesn't quite see the episode in the troubling way that it's been.
Wow.
That he feels it's been portrayed.
Yeah, supposedly it was the sister that called 911, from what I understand.
16
knives and a dagger.
No one in the family ended up taking the next step of actually pressing charges or of initiating a red flag petition that perhaps would have gotten, you know, would have had a different kind of an outcome here.
Well, that sponsorship for gun ownership, that does, it's a consent form, and apparently it does have a clause in it that you could be held responsible, does it not?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's one of the things that when Illinois State Police say they're looking into it, I think that's one of the things they're looking into, but there's no real, you know, I don't know whether a criminal charge is going to be appropriate here, but they are looking into whether there were any knowing false statements or something like that.
Well, are you aware of the mural that Robert Cremo painted on his mother's home?
And it was a house. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the picture of a guy. He's got a yellow, like, smiley face head. He's wearing what looks like green and black fatigues, and he's holding a rifle. And he's got painted on the back of his mother's Denise's home on brick. I mean, you talk about a warning sign.
All this stuff to see what the home life was and what and whether it contributed to, you know, this spiral into these internet subcultures that he seems to have been obsessed with and all that. But so far there's been no evident motive. You know, they haven't found a racial or a religious animus that may have motivated it. And
I'm thinking the motive might just been to kill people.
Seems it. Yeah. Seems it. And based on his alleged confession, the way police put it, that he, you know, stared down the sights of the rifle, took aim, and opened fire at random.
All right, Aaron. Thank you very much for that report.
Thank you very much.
Aaron Katursky, senior investigative reporter, ABC News, on the father of the Highland Park, Illinois shooter, doing some interviews, one with ABC News, one with the New York Post, which we saw last night just as we were signing off the air. He referred to that 2019 incident where they took the sword, the dagger, and the knives from the shooter's home. First of all, the father said he wasn't living with me then, and it was just a childish outburst of the terms he used.
Right.
The dad said, you know, I used to collect coins and baseball cards. I don't know, referring to what his son was collecting knives. I don't really see what that means.
well, that's what he is. See, I don't think it was the dad's collection. I think it was the son's collection because he called the knives a collection. Like I used to collect coins and baseball cards. The implication being, I collected baseball cards. He collects knives. What's the big deal? In fact, all his quotes pretty much add up to what's the big deal.
Apparently, at the time, they did label the son a clear and present danger. That was in the police report.
Right.
When they came to the home in 2019.
But the police didn't do anything.
Right.
Now, so somebody's a clear and present danger and is threatening to kill everyone, but there's not probable cause to arrest him? That makes zero sense. The police committed malpractice there. They screwed up. They blew it. If he's a clear and present danger and you're taking the weapons away, then, yeah, a crime has been committed. Yes, there's probable cause. You can't have it any other way. One directly leads to another. This is just amazing.
They're making this look like I groomed him to do all this. I've been here my whole life, and I'm going to stay here, hold my head up high, because I didn't do anything wrong.
I mean, we've all seen denial, but this takes it. I mean, this is something else. He's even talking about mass murders the night before.
He does want a long sentence for his son. Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, so he doesn't get killed.
And, of course, his thoughts and prayers go to the victims.
His thoughts and prayers? Really? He actually said that? He actually did the thoughts and prayers line? Well, really?
Yeah, I guess it's default. You kind of have to do that.
You know, Clueless doesn't describe this guy. It's like he lives in an alternate reality. Well, I can't
wait. It's surreal. I essentially lost a son, too, and it sucks, he also said.
Uh-huh. It sucks.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
A relative of one of his own lifelong friends was injured in the shooting. I'm trying to act like, you know, I'm not touched by this, too. I am touched by this. All right. We'll talk more. We'll play some of the interview he did with ABC 7 in Chicago. You can hear him in his own words. But as soon as we come back, we got that keyword for a chance for you to win $1,000 when you enter it on the website.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, more on the mass shooter in Illinois, including an interview his father did. But right now, you got this chance.
Now, your chance to win $1,000.
Just enter this nationwide keyword on our website.
Bonus. That's bonus, B-O-N-U-S.
Enter it now at KFIAM640.com/cash.
Powered by Sweet James Accident Attorneys.
If you're hurt in an accident, winning is everything.
Call the winning attorneys at Sweet James.
800-500-5200.
That's 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
Winners will be notified by email, so check your junk folder, your spam folder, or the folds in your belly to see if you won. Listen to KFI AM 640 for the winning keyword every weekday from 9 in the morning to 5 at night. Next chance to win, next hour, 3:20.
We've learned a little bit more about that police visit back in 2019 to the home of the Highland Park, Illinois mass shooter. Bobby Cremo. Looks like he was there with his mother and perhaps his sister. And the best information we can get is that the sister's the one that called 911 that he was threatening to kill everybody. And he had a knife collection. But they get there and they talk to him. He just says, well, I've used drugs and I'm depressed. His mother doesn't want to say anything negative. They both act like, it says here, they both disputed the threat of violence. Cremo told police he did not feel like hurting himself or anybody else. And they claim there was no probable cause to arrest.
It must be nice to have no critics in life, no matter what you do. That you could threaten to kill your whole family and they'll just all go, nah, it's just an outburst. He doesn't mean it. It's not such a big deal. Why? Looks like the sister was the only one who had her head screwed on, right?
It said she didn't want to go back to the home after that. I don't know.
Well, yeah. If somebody threatens to kill you, you don't want to spend the night with them.
So a reviewing officer looks at the report and concludes there is insufficient information for a clear and present danger determination. That means he could apply for and get the guns 2 months later with his dad's help.
What would be sufficient information if that's not enough? What would the standard be? What would have to happen? Because we went through yesterday the list of crimes that could have been charged. It could have been domestic violence. It could have been intimidation. It could have been assault. They're all real crimes, and all the definitions fit exactly what he did. So if there's not enough evidence, not enough information, it sounds like a whitewash.
Well,
it sounds like they were giving the family and the dad and the kid a big break and saying, oh, I don't see anything here.
It's like a domestic abuse call when they go there and then the wife doesn't want it to. She says, oh, no, it's nothing. Please go away. That's what they have to do. They don't have anything. They don't have a case. They don't have any witness. They don't have anybody that's going to state this was dangerous.
Well, they took the knives away, so they must have thought there was a case.
They wanted to do something, I suppose.
No, I just think they blew it. I just think they blew it and they gave deference to the dad because he was a big deal in town.
Well, here is the dad. We have some of the audio from ABC 7 in Chicago from Meyer Kawash. Let's listen.
Robert Cremo Jr. says this has all been a nightmare, shocking the family because they believed his son was raised with good morals. Robert Cremo Jr. also saying he doesn't regret helping his son get that FOID card because he was following the law.
As a father, pretty much lost a son.
Father of the Highland Park shooting suspect speaking publicly for the first time in an exclusive phone interview with ABC News. Robert Cremo Jr., a 2018 candidate for mayor of Highland Park, says he had talked to his son the night before the shooting.
13 hours earlier, I spent almost an hour with him sitting in the yard talking about, you know, the planet, the atmosphere and nothing. Great mood. I'm shocked. I think three days before the 4th, my wife had asked him, hey, do you have any plans for the 4th? And he simply said no.
Cremo Jr. says he doesn't know the motive behind his son's actions.
That's what I'd like to ask him when I see him. I mean, this kind of definitive act is a senseless act of violence. There's no need for it.
Illinois State Police now investigating Cremo Jr. and his culpability for signing the consent form which allowed his son to obtain a FOID card. The father downplayed threats his son made in 2019 to kill others, likening it to a child's outburst. He said that didn't change his mind about his son owning a gun, leaving it up to the vetting process.
That's all it was. The consent form to allow my son to go through the process. They do background checks, whatever it entails, I'm not exactly sure. And either you're approved or denied. And he was approved, and right before turning 21.
Cremo Jr. says his son purchased the guns on his own and registered them in his own name. In the meantime, the father says he hasn't stopped thinking about those victims since the shooting.
My heart goes out to him. I can only imagine losing a family member at a parade or a child that doesn't have their parents. It's horrific.
Now, Cremo Jr. also strongly denies any rumors that his son suffered from abuse at home. He also says he was not concerned about social media posts that came up in the past from his son, saying he has not seen them all, and he thought the ones that he did see just had to do with his music.
Right. Nothing's a big deal. Sure.
He only saw the music ones.
Right.
How many parents are there out there like this? Where there's been these kinds of outbursts, there's been these threats, and they're posting this crap online, and you're like, yeah, go ahead, get a gun, I'll help you.
That's what I was wondering. If threatening to kill the family wasn't enough to not sign his application
card. Yeah.
Yeah. What would be enough? What would he have to do? This is like with the police. If you went to the house and there wasn't enough evidence, okay, what would be enough evidence? Same thing with the dad here. What is enough to say, you know, I don't think I'm signing that card. I don't think I'm going to help you out. Well, and of course he passed the background check because you didn't press charges against him. Pressing charges against him was the best thing you could have done for him and to save the lives of the people shot in the parade.
Oh, the father's acting like I wasn't there. I don't know anything about that incident with the knives. That was the mother and the sister who apparently were home when the police came. So he's acting like, I don't know. I can't speak to that.
I mean, he, and by the way, this kid was a lunatic, like, let's say at least every day of his teenage life, right? Every day he was a lunatic. All right. You got tattoos on your face. You got tattoos on your neck. You paint a mural on your mother's house of a weird smiley guy in fatigues holding a rifle. A full color mural. That doesn't make you stop and go, oh, what is that?
One of the first stories that came out is that the parents would always leave the kids at school, wouldn't pick them up in the afternoon. I don't think they were involved in their lives at all. They had no idea.
No.
And then this one turns out to be a psychopath.
That's why he's so clueless. I didn't know. Yeah, because you didn't really talk to him for 20 years.
Well, but he talked to him the night before the shooting, you know.
Yeah.
We discussed what happened in Denmark with a mass shooting. And
yeah, isn't that weird? I don't know. My wife, she asked him, what are you doing for the 4th? And
Nothing special.
You think he's going to tell you? I love how people really don't know how to deal with or recognized mental illness. He tells the conversation like it's like, well, he was talking normally. Well, of course he's talking normally. What's he going to tell you? I'm going to try to shoot up 40 people? And not that the dad would have done anything anyway, even if he'd gotten that answer. Oh, he was just joking. He was just trying to get attention.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about Sophie. And we're going to talk about what do appear to be some racist and anti-Semitic messages from Cremo. Yeah, Sophie? Do you know who Sophie is, John? No?
Is that his...
his teenage sex doll.
His blow-up friend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sophie. And he killed her, too. All right, more coming up.
John and Ken... God. John and Ken KFI...
Tomorrow will mark the return of the Moist Line to the John and Ken Show in the 5 o'clock hour. You're not out of time yet if you... got something that's just on your mind right now and you want to leave a message, it might still be included. You can go to the iHeartRadio app and use a little microphone to leave a message, or you can, of course, do it the old-fashioned way. Call us up at 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Well, of course, still talking about the mass shooting in Highland Park, Illinois, that killed 7 people, wounded over 30. The shooter is... Robert Bobby Cremo III. We're talking a lot about the police visits to the home. By the way, since 2002, the police had been to that home because the parents were constantly fighting. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about all the years you grew up in the household with your parents. How many times did the cops come to break up a fight between your parents? Most of us, zero?
Zero.
Maybe not even, did you even hear about this much in the neighborhood when you think about it?
No.
Yet this family, yeah.
We only had
psychopaths who raised a psychopath.
My mother set fire to dinner in the kitchen once.
On purpose?
The firemen had to come. No, it was just dinner had gone wrong.
Oh, okay. Thought maybe she was trying to get back at your dad.
No. It was just a cooking accident.
Oh, so they did the fire.
Yeah, I was coming home from school. Somebody was driving me home, and I saw all these fire trucks in front of the house. Went inside, and it looked like Mom had...
And the only time, if you're talking about any kind of emergency, people coming to the house, that's the time the lawnmower blew up on me.
Mm.
And the fire department came because I was afraid it was going to burn up a big tree in the yard and just burn up the whole house. And
the lawnmower blew up on you?
Yeah, I've told this story. My dad would not replace it. It was a piece of crap, little push lawnmower.
Yeah.
He got it. I still remember it was from Sears. There's nothing wrong with Sears, but he bought it in like, it was probably 15 years old and we're still using it. And like the handle was coming off, and
yeah,
the gas tank, I think, was deteriorating the metal. So what happened was I had to fill it because it ran out of gas while I was pushing it. And when I splotched some gasoline, it fell onto one of the deteriorated parts and just started to go into flame. And I was like, because the mower was hot.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I just ran out of there. I was like, I was afraid it was going to like explode like a car in the movies or something.
Yeah.
So, and I remember my sister looked out the window. She said, what the hell? She called the
could have been a firebomb.
It was a pretty small thing. So we're learning more about what this guy's been doing online in addition to all of his dark, demented postings about mass shootings and, of course, playing video games where he's a mass shooter. His avatar was actually shooting from a rooftop.
God.
We've also learned about his relationship with Sophie.
Sophie, the teenage sex doll.
That's what it is.
And I guess, you know, you pump Sophie up full of air and when you're in the mood, you go to town on her.
He had a car, an Acura, that he put the doll in the front passenger seat and did fasten her seatbelt.
Yeah, there's a photo here.
The back of the car had a bumper sticker, really kind of foul, P magnet, if you know what the P word is,
A vulgar expression.
Four teddy bears in the back seat,
And a Donald Trump bobblehead.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
On the rear dash. Well, four teddy bears and a Donald Trump bobblehead.
That should be enough to have somebody put away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how much more information do you need to lock a guy up?
Another one of the images he posted was that Sophie killed herself. And he had the doll in a mock suicide hanging in his closet.
Yeah, I guess since the doll is not real, it would be a mock suicide, right?
This was an incredibly lonely, really severely troubled person who at the age of 20 is playing with, I guess a teenage sex doll. We can imagine what else he was doing with it.
Killing it.
She hung herself. He didn't kill her.
Oh, right. Jeffrey Epstein, right?
He actually posted, I don't understand why, Sophie, July 1, 2020 to July 22, 2020.
Wow.
He added, and he put a frowning face. It was very sad, but Sophie took her own life. And I think if you were a teenage sex doll stuck with this guy, you would take your own life too.
Sure. 3 weeks is all you could handle. It was on some kind of chat site called Documenting Reality.
Oh, so they just dug this up because this is newer.
And his handle is Awake47.
That's 47 again.
Yeah, and they have a site moderator named Chris Wilson. Now, imagine a guy who spends part of his day moderating comments from wannabe mass murderer whack jobs like this guy. This is not something we've ever had to deal with. He was a member of the site as well as other sites. I think what happened is horrendous, and I'm cooperating fully with law enforcement officials. Nobody thought posting photos of a guy hanging his sex doll was cause for concern? No.
It looks like he indiscriminately fired on the parade crowd from that rooftop, but he did post recently some racist things. The math is all screwed up. The logistics of 6 million Jews doesn't make sense, but I'm just retarded, he posted on June 25th. So that's obviously a reference to the Holocaust.
Right.
Not a believer. Other posts, we should just get rid of the blacks altogether on June 28th, and Asian people should be gassed, then washed. On July 2nd, which is just 2 days before the massacre.
There you go. So he didn't like anybody, did he?
No. He wrote, I see, old Sparky, if I remember right, some states have reinstated gas chambers as a way to do. I like that. Of course, old Sparky's a reference to the electric chair, but anyway.
Other than that, nothing was wrong. Just a childish outburst. Just expressing himself.
I know. This is why I wish there was a way we could charge the parents, just because maybe it'll wake somebody up somewhere that's got a kid like this.
They're dead. I don't know how you deal with a case like this, because in the Uvalde situation in Texas, you had a huge police force that all stood there and did nothing. In this case, you had a lifetime of adults in Highland Park that stood around and did nothing. And there's no counteracting that inertia, that lack of interest, lack of action. If everybody's going to stand around and do nothing, well, yeah, this is what you get. And now young men like this can spend all their lives taking in violent impulses, violent input from video games and whatever's on the internet, channel it into violent rap music and violent rap lyrics, and then entertain their imaginary friends online, and everybody will applaud them and support them and encourage them to go out and do the shooting, because they all want to do the shooting too. So there's not a single person in America right now who's looking at that particular dynamic, where all the adults are standing around doing nothing, and he spends his day immersed in the internet sewer, feeding his damaged, troubled brain with all kinds of violent imagery.
Someone else who spoke out is the mother of what is described as Cremo's only friend. The mother is speaking because the friend, whose name was Anthony, he actually died in 2017. Not sure what it doesn't say.
Cremo kill him?
Well, but he made a video, Cremo did, that said Anthony was the person I could call when I couldn't sleep, and he would always reply. He was always free to hang out whenever I wanted to be with him, and I felt like I wasn't alone anymore. So I guess the death of that kid meant he was completely alone, because this is being described as his only friend that anybody can think of. The mother said she's surprised because he was always a happy kid. Talking about Cremo. Look at that. She said he's the type of boy that would have taken a bug out of the house rather than kill it.
Wait, you know, if you saw this as a TV show, you wouldn't believe it. You would think it's kind of a parody of zombie suburban life.
Yeah.
Where the kids are plotting mass murders and the parents are going, oh, he's just a wonderful child. Yes, he's always happy. Cut to the bedroom. Where he and his buddies are online talking about how many bodies they're going to rack up when they finally get their rifle from dad.
Yeah, I know parents probably don't really, I mean, unless they're real helicopter ones, take a look at what their kids are doing online. The father has said, I just knew about his music stuff. I didn't see any of his dark posts.
That wasn't disturbing enough?
Well, his awake rapper stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the lyrics were disturbing. I don't remember.
Yeah, the imagery. It was a lot of violent noise, and it was awful. It was horrible. It only comes out of a disturbed mind, that stuff.
Obviously. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken KFI.
All right, all afternoon during the show, you'll have a shot at $1,000. The next one comes at 3:20 with the keyword to enter into the website. That'll come up at around 3:20 here on KFI. Another big story today was the resignation of the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, the guy with the weird hair, Boris Johnson. So it always looked like clown hair to me. People said he did that on purpose, purposely disheveled, to give him sort of a distinct look.
Well, it must have been. He gets up in the morning, he sees himself in the mirror, so he knows he looks like that.
What caught up to him was a series of scandals. We can't do this in this country. I mean, basically, Parliament can do a no-confidence vote, and they can trigger an election, and he sidestepped that by simply just resigning. I like those kind of governments where you can decide, after this guy was in power 2.5 years,
yeah, you're
that's
a loser.
Enough.
Well, he had a bunch of Newsom scandals. He was locking down Great Britain while at the same time he's having his own private parties.
Yeah, they called it Partygate back in 2020 when everything was locked down. Apparently, it got pretty wild among a lot of the government employees.
Yeah, government employees. Of course. So they were boozing it up, probably having wanton sex.
Yes.
And he looks like a guy who enjoys a beer or two. At least it caught up to him. Here, Newsom is out at the French Laundry racking up $20,000 dinners.
Right.
Nobody does anything. He's in Montana now, violating his anti-state travel ban.
He is, yes. Apparently, the last straw for Boris Johnson were complaints about a man by the name of Chris Pincher, which is an interesting name when you hear the rest of the story. His title was Conservative Deputy Chief Whip. He stepped down just about 10 days ago because he was groping men at a private club.
Pincher the whip.
Johnson's office initially said they knew nothing of these allegations, which were made against Pincher back in 2019.
Was that guy doomed?
By Monday, Johnson said he did know of the claims, but they were either resolved or didn't progress to a formal complaint and just tried to push the whole thing aside.
And you know what else? The economy sucks in England. And inflation is 10%.
Yeah.
Because he was another stupid ass that locked down the whole country for way too long. And all these idiot leaders with their lockdowns, they just kind of ruined everything. They ruined the supply chain. They ruined, the job market. Everything is upside down. I'm actually surprised at the reverberations of all these lockdowns that persist now for months and months and months. It's going to be years. They should never, ever do this again.
I don't think they will.
Oh, this is just bad.
There were still fans of that style, but I don't think that's going to happen again. Here we are 2.5 years later, and we still have so many issues from doing that.
All right, you and I heard about the airline industry today. You know, there were thousands of flights that were have been canceled. I think just over the weekend, it was about 1,400 flights. And what happened is our government gave the airline industry $54 billion in imaginary printed tax money. And the airlines took that money. And they didn't spend it just to pay the bills and to keep everybody employed. What they did is they used it for buyouts and early retirements. So now the airlines are missing thousands of people who took the buyout and retired. It's like, hey, thanks, see ya. So they're no longer available to work. Plus, they had a vaccine mandate. The airlines lost 31,000 employees to the vaccine mandate. So now there are not enough pilots, there are not enough flight attendants, not enough general staff, and that's why they're canceling thousands of flights this summer. They just completely blew it, just completely botched
that's
the whole
because
response.
The lockdown led everybody to believe we were going to head into a major depression, and we had to scale back because there's no demand, and that went on for so long that companies just rejiggered in that fashion. Mm-hmm. And then, lo and behold, what do you think? When things got better, and by the way, the economy never got that bad, but people decided that they really wanted to do a lot of things that they couldn't do the first year, and they started doing them actually last year, and now this year, everything's popping out all over the place. Yeah. Everybody overreacted. The lockdown was an overreaction. The business's reaction to it was an overreaction to shutting everything down, taking immediate action just to completely halt a lot of operations. Really just, we do that with so many things. We just overreact.
Yeah.
So Boris Johnson's big moment came with the Brexit. And but it says here, I'm reading this editorial in the Wall Street Journal, that what he wanted to do after Brexit was build an economic powerhouse. But instead, he wanted to raise the corporate tax rate to 26% from 19%. He should have been cutting it to attract investment. So they did everything wrong, and it probably has hurt the economy.
No, he raised taxes. They're at the highest point in 50 years.
Home electricity and natural gas rates have spiked 54% in April.
Wow. Yeah, because they also went to wind energy.
Oh, wow.
And the wind turbines that they have in the North Sea that was supposed to provide the energy, a calming period hit the ocean, and it wasn't producing enough energy anymore.
Well, duh. And,
yeah. Well, what happened to the wind? It stopped. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, they're trying to do the same thing here. They want to put big wind turbines out in the Pacific there.
No, we're going to make all the same stupid mistakes. They make the same mistakes in Europe as we do here in California. Everyone's in sync. You know, it's like Germany was trying to get rid of burning coal and natural gas. So we're going to go with wind and solar. It's like, hey, you do that. Let's see what happens here.
Oh, he also raised the payroll tax. Mm-hmm. Inflation's expected to exceed 10% later this year in the UK.
This is all self-inflicted by the governments. This is the governments getting involved in the private economy. And look what they've done. All their mandates, whether it was closing mandates, vaccine mandates, energy mandates, all their brilliant, stupid ideas, all their woke philosophies, all failures. And you got to deal with it. You got to deal with all the fallout because they don't know what they're doing. But keep electing them. Keep voting the way you're voting.
Yeah, and apparently Putin. and the Kremlin took one last swipe at Boris Johnson after the news broke that he was going to resign. We would like that Britain has more professional people who can make decisions who come to power in that country.
Good. Yeah, because Johnson was the biggest booster of helping Ukraine.
He was. He went there.
Yeah, he went there, and he's given them billions of dollars and a lot of military support. I mean, they're number two to what the U.S. has done.
Well,
so, yeah, so Putin's getting a big laugh out of that.
Yeah. All right.
More coming up. John and Ken Show, KFI. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
In a world of social media, notifications, and pop-ups, it can be near impossible to focus. But now you have the power to beat distractions and make real breakthroughs with Remarkable, the paper tablet. Designed for tasks that demand focus, Remarkable is everything you love about paper in one digital system. It's your favorite thinking spot to take notes, draft, read, organize, and more. See how far you can go with just you and your thoughts at Remarkable.com. Remarkable, the paper tablet.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.